On this January day, I'm walking with Ryan Rydell down Main Street in Dayton. He spent every day last month walking these streets, trying to talk to homeless people and hear their stories. His face is unshaven, and he's been sick.
No matter how hard I try, I'm not homeless. And no matter what I do, I can't really experience all that these people experience.
Rydell had thought about this idea for a while, and it took him weeks to get the courage to tell his wife about the plan. She was supportive, but they did agree to have some rules. He'd sleep in a van at night with a cot and a carbon monoxide detector. He'd come home twice a week to visit her and their three children and bathe. And Rydell would hold on to a credit card. This way, he was prepared just in case. And he could help others with it by buying a hot meal.
Those people at the bottom of the pyramid, they're not thinking about what they need to do to take care of the situation 2 to 3, 4 weeks down the road. They're consumed with, you know, what they're going to do, you know, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day.
Like, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I've been there. No, you haven't. Not until you live it.
That's Melissa. She's 23 years old and lived in foster care until she was 18. She couldn't find a home after that. It's a problem called aging out, and Rydell says he's seen a lot of it. Melissa has been in and out of the shelters. She's just one of the many young people Rydell has met, and he said it's been hard to win her trust, and that's a common problem.
What's scary about being a young person on the streets today with other people?
You don't know who you can trust.
And when you say who you can trust, what's that mean? Does that mean how do people harm you? How do they break your trust?
I've been through a lot of abuse in my life. So basically, first would probably lying to me, saying they're going to be there and then not being there.
Melissa didn't want to trust Rydell at first. But when she landed in the hospital because she had a miscarriage, she listed him as her emergency contact. Then he helped her find temporary housing and helped her fiancé find a job.
Well, sit here. Watch your step. There's urine. There's feces. There's bottles.
This is a city parking garage, a place where a lot of homeless spend time. Rydell says it's attractive to them because it has a roof.
And the only benefit here is that there's a roof over their head. But that's
roof, it's warm.
I mean, it's warm relatively, I suppose.
Yeah, you're right. And it's out of the way. There's some privacy, not many people walking through.
We continue walking, this time down Fifth Street, under the familiar train trestle into the Oregon District. Just after we pass under the trestle, a semi-truck trailer is on our left, where obviously people have been living.
This trailer is their shelter. If you go over here, see the cardboard here? And then they'll sleep on that skid. There's bottles, you know, obviously, you know. The bottles are probably part of their problem, but nonetheless, I mean, it's... To me, it's just very troubling to see this. And to see that, you know, we drive under that trestle. We go, all of us, we spend time on the other side, not really realizing what's on this side, you know. It's kind of like a dividing line. And we drive through here, the windows up, and just ignore, you know, the plight of others, you know.
That's why Rydell says he's doing this. He believes he has to become like someone to understand them better. And that stems from his faith. He's a Christian pastor, and he thinks the church can be doing more to raise awareness for people less fortunate.
When Jesus came, fed people, he healed people, he placed value on people. And then, you know, if people felt moved by that and touched by that, then people responded to that. And I think that's a much healthier approach to evangelism than standing on the street corner with a bullhorn.
Rydell feels more comfortable putting his beliefs into action. He's keeping a video blog documenting his experiences and asking for donations. He also uses social media to engage others for help.
Yeah, this week has been a huge adjustment to try to reacclimate myself to normal life.
January is over, and now Rydell is back home with his family.
Sunday, I had my boys, you know, they're playing soccer at the YMCA, and so I go back to, you know, my suburbial life, and I'm having a good time watching my boys play, but I'm watching all these families, you know. But in the back of my mind, in all honesty, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking about Henry, thinking about Eddie, I'm thinking about Joe, I'm thinking about, you know, I can't get it out of my mind. It's been difficult.
But the time away has given him some clarity. Rydell says he will continue his work by focusing on the younger people he met, the ones that have aged out of the foster care system. He's working on finding mentors for them so that they can find jobs, maybe go to school, and finally find a place of their own. For WYSO, I'm Emily McCord.